This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
Provide protection against this variant. The World Health Organization has classified Omicron as a variant of concern. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to NowDecatur.com.
It's reached more countries. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. The Omicron COVID variant's now detected from Canada to Portugal to Australia after surging in southern Africa.
This does seem to be spreading quite rapidly, so the inference would be there that it's particularly contagious.
But is the variant worse than others? Director of the National Institutes of Health, Dr. Francis Collins, tells Fox News Sunday.
We don't know about its severity. Trying to collect that data as quickly as possible.
The U.S. is joining many other countries with new travel restrictions. Fox's Evan Brown has more live.
Dave, starting today, travel between the U.S. and South Africa and seven other nations on the southern part of that continent is not allowed for foreign nationals. U.S. citizens and lawful permanent residents can still travel, though they must test negative for COVID. Health officials in the U.S. say that so far they have not detected Omicron variant COVID in the nation, but warn it is likely here and will spread. Canada has already confirmed cases, Dave.
Oh, Evan, the president is urging Americans again to get COVID vaccine shots. 80% of those 12, 18 and older have gotten at least one dose, almost 100% of those 65 and older. Iran nuclear talks back on today involving the country still signed on to the agreement the U.S. pulled out of in 2018, but the Biden administration is involved indirectly in these talks, wanting to rejoin the deal that Iran's been violating.
There had been talks earlier this year, but they were broken off in June so Iran could hold new elections. They brought in an even tougher government with tougher demands. Iran wants all U.S. and international sanctions dropped before they even start to talk. That is a non-starter, according to experts.
Fox's Greg Palcott. It's Cyber Monday. A lot of Americans will be shopping while working. Adobe forecasts more than $11 billion in sales, which would be more than Black Friday, when online buying was under $9 billion. America's listening to Fox News.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask,
Could I have EPI? Sponsored by AbbVie.
Congress gets back to work this week, and there's a lot to get done in a short time.
Congress has until Friday night to prevent a partial government shutdown and extend government funding. Another short-term extension is likely without a final deal on a larger year-round spending plan. The Treasury Secretary has also signaled December 15th is the deadline for raising the U.S. debt limit and avoid warnings of a catastrophic default. Republicans have said Democrats can and should raise the limit on their own. And by Christmas, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has said he intends to have a vote on President Biden's nearly $2 trillion social spending plan. Any agreement will require support of all Democrats in the 50-50 Senate. Jared Halpern, Fox News.
There could be a rebound on Wall Street from the biggest sell-off of the year Friday when the Dow dropped 905 points on concerns about the new COVID variant. This morning, Dow futures are up more than 200, and oil prices was also plunged Friday. Are rising back up more than $3, back over 71 bucks a barrel. In the NFL,
it happened again. For the third time in 8 days, an NFL player scored more than three touchdowns in one game.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay! His fourth of the day!
on Fox TV, Tampa Bay Buccaneers running back Leonard Fournette scored four touchdowns. His last, a 28-yard run with 20 seconds to play to lift the Buccaneers over the Colts 38-31. Tom Brady's former team, the New England Patriots, won their sixth game in a row, 36-13 over the Tennessee Titans. New England and Tennessee are both 8-4, a half game behind the Baltimore Ravens for the number one seed of the AFC. Despite four interceptions from Lamar Jackson, the Ravens beat the Browns Sunday night 16-10. Jared Max, Fox News.
In the NBA, Golden State and Milwaukee both won their seventh straight games. The Warriors beat the LA Clippers. The defending champion Bucks topped Indiana. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Attention Class A CDL drivers. We're hiring for dedicated home office positions with a $7,500 sign-on bonus. Join Oakley Transport at our hiring event Tuesday, November 30th through Thursday, December 2nd at the Homewood Suites located at 333 West Marion Avenue in Forsyth, Illinois. We'll be there from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. each day. For more info, call 877-950-4333. That's 877-950-4333.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get him a shirt from Untuck It. Now get up to 50% off at the Cyber Monday sale and even deeper discounts on some of our favorite styles happening now at Untuck It. Untuck It shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep them looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with a gift of their super soft flannels and wrinkle-free shirts. So don't miss the Cyber Monday sale on now at your nearest Untuck It store or at untuckit.com. Untuck It. Shirts designed to be worn untucked.
Here is Nick Smith with your WSOY 3-day forecast.
Today's going to be partly sunny with a high near 46, and tonight mostly clear with a low around 33. For Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 48, and Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 56. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 28 degrees, and your WSOY time is 7:06.
Good morning and welcome back to the Monday edition of Byers & Company. Kevin Verhaeghe, but no more Beatles, I swear. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf in the studios. Plus, we'll check in with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports next.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
How long does it take water to freeze?
Well, I don't know the time.
Should do like an ice experiment here during the show. I had no idea what this was, and Kevin Verhaeghe was telling us about it. It has the First Mid Insurance Group logo on it, and basically, I love this idea of the big round ice cube.
Oh yeah, keep your drink cold for a while.
Think so?
Absolutely.
All right, we're gonna do something. We're gonna figure that out during the show. I don't know. How long does it take an ice cube to form?
Well, it depends on how big the ice cube is.
Yeah, this is a thick one.
And the freezer.
Yeah, and how cold the freezer is and what the temperature is.
It's freezing.
Well, there's
various levels of freezing.
I mean, there's 300 below. There's, yeah. You know.
Now you're getting cryogenic. I don't think we need to go that far. Good morning and welcome. Before we get to Saturday, which was a couple of days ago, I want to go back to last Tuesday.
I was going to ask if you ever got to the Hall of Fame. Because you'd promoted it and came back to more.
And then you didn't know because you sat out in the
studio
where there's no way of listening to anything.
Nothing.
This place was designed by people who clearly don't understand what we do.
There's no radio at the radio station.
You ever notice? I mean, it was like just completely designed by people who have no idea what we actually do.
Maybe you should have them on.
It's sometimes you walk into a kitchen and you can tell it's just a rich guy that likes to cook. And then you walk in and you go, this wasn't well thought out, was it?
I guess not. All right. So let's go back to Tuesday because Kevin was on the Monday before, but here we are the Monday after the Hall of Fame. And let's be clear. Can we at least agree on what it's called? It's the Hall of Fame. This Wall of Fame thing keeps creeping up in different places. It's on a wall. Meaning the plaques hang on a wall, but it's the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was one of the most brilliant things ever pulled off. You know, we had two award winners, and each thought the other was there.
And there wasn't an award winner last year.
Because we didn't have the Thanksgiving luncheon.
Right.
And so, well, we didn't have anything last year. So, you know, so there was the opportunity to have two honorees, and Kevin was one of those, and Dr. Janelle Norman was the other. And each, they're very good friends and have worked together for a number of years on a number of projects, so it made sense that Janelle would be coming to honor Kevin, and it made sense to Kevin that he would be coming to honor Janelle.
Right. So there was a little bit of misinformation about, you know, Kevin show up to say something nice about Janelle, Janelle show up to say something nice about Kevin, and then you both learned. Now, he didn't know. I didn't know. I don't think anyone knew.
No. Matter of fact, on Monday when we were switching out, Julie says, remember, it's a secret. Don't tell Janelle. I'm glad you told me that, because I walk in and she's sitting there with all these friends around her. And I thought, well, she must know now. And I said, Janelle, how you doing? I says, do you know why you're here? And she goes, yes.
Of course he has to say something like that.
But she says, to say something nice for a friend. I go, oh, she doesn't know. I go, yeah, me too. And I went and sat down and still never figured it out. And then you go up there with Marinda, and you do this beautiful presentation to Dr. Norman, and you told me to stay seated until it was my time to get up.
Until I called you up.
Yeah, and then you skipped it, and you go, and you give her her plaque, and I'm sitting there. I spent all weekend on this talk, and she forgot to call me up.
He had it written out.
Yeah, he did. And so at what point did you not understand, like when your entire family was there, that they weren't all there to see Janelle be inducted?
Well, they all knew I was writing this presentation for her, and they're all going to the luncheon. So I just figured they wanted to hear my presentation. I never even...
Because they never hear you speak.
The thought never crossed my mind that I was going to get called up there. And that's the second time you've done that, and you really are good about keeping secrets, and I'm naive as heck.
It was a good day.
It was a great day. It really was. And I can't think of two more deserving people. And, you know, it is nice. Dr. Dorman said, well, I'm really glad this happened while I was alive.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. But now we better stay good.
Alive for a long time.
Well, no, don't do anything wrong between now and the time we die, because our name's up on the wall. But that's why they don't put names of people on buildings until they die, because they're capable of doing stupid things. But I will tell you, I was never so honored and thrilled to get that Hall of Fame award. I never dreamt that. I don't even, to this minute, I don't even think I'm worthy of it. When you look at the names up there, from Howard Buffett to Mr. Mueller, Mr. Staley, Mr. Andreas,
Mr. Sister Milliken.
Ann, Milliken's. I mean, it's apples and oranges when you think of me, but I am really thrilled and honored and very grateful.
Well, we are thankful for all that you and Dr. Norman have done for decades in this community that
she's
you didn't
terrific.
Have to do.
She, you know, Dr. Norman is not always doing what she does for popularity contest. She does what she does because she believes it's exactly what needs to be done. And I realize that in working on projects with her, that her heart really is in the right place. Never always agreed on her methods, but always agreed on her heart. And we learned that together at the chamber when we formed the dropout task force with the NAACP. But nothing compares to what she did for this community with what she did with you and the chief on the ALERT program.
Yeah, she has the ALERT program, if you're not familiar with it, it is an organization that the police chief and Dr. Norman formed right after Ferguson happened. And because we needed to strengthen relationships, although there were relationships there, but you cannot form trust and relationships in the middle of the night when something bad happens. And so this group of African-American leaders in the community started meeting with the police chief and developing a really good rapport. And we had, if you go back to 2016, it had been a horrible, horrible summer across the country with people, African-Americans dying live on Facebook. And we had come out of the the horrible ambush in Dallas on a weekend, and there was a prayer service on a Sunday night in a little African-American church, and there were people both white and black there, and I walked out thinking, thank God, you know, we are so together here. And in the middle of that night, we had an officer-involved shooting, which could, given the tensions of the nation at the time, have led to disaster. And the African-American leaders got word out in their community saying, give us a minute. State police are investigating. Let's wait till the facts. I mean, Janelle and the alert group were at the police station before I got there at, I don't know, 2:30 or 3 in the morning. And they had already been given everything police knew at that time about what the incident that had happened, about the person involved in the shooting. So it's a matter of trust. And, you know, throughout that day, Dr. Norman and Chief Getz and I did numerous news conferences to update the public and try to urge calm. And we were able to, through those resources and that outreach, to keep the calm in Decatur. And you have to remember, that day, that Monday, businesses shut down in downtown Decatur. And we had learned that there were supposedly people coming by the busloads from Chicago. And we were fearful that the town was going to be, you know, just burned.
I was happy to be a passenger until that last point. We didn't learn there were buses coming. There were ugly rumors that were passed around. I mean, literally.
I think you're thinking of a different incident. This is going back to 2016, okay, where there was an organized effort to bring people here.
Okay, but what happened?
This was, there was outreach to organizations in Chicago saying, hey, we're going to have, we'll have you down. We'll have, you know, a big gathering. Let's give it a couple of weeks. And Courtney Carson did a lot of that, reached out to organizations in Chicago. But I think what you're talking about is when there have been other incidents in the last couple of years and there are rumors. It's like, why would people come here? You go to bigger cities.
Look, everybody needs to be applauded for their work that they have done, including Chief Getz and the former chief before him, you know, who had started some of those conversations, Brad Sweeney. And you know, I know all that ended whatever. But this community has always been sort of, in my opinion, one that is more progressive than others.
Oh, absolutely.
And having these kinds of conversations.
Absolutely. And, you know, so it wasn't like they had to start from scratch. There were already relationships, but they were strengthened a great deal. And, you know, people, if you remember Bruce Jeffries, who
Boys and Girls
instrumental
Club.
In mm-hmm. really trying to do a lot of outreach at a very tense time in this community. And, you know, I give great credit to Chief Getz and to Dr. Norman for really keeping things together.
Because it seems to me that it's so easy to set this off, whether it is in the incident that we had here. The person was armed mm-hmm. with very large knives and was the police acted exactly as they should have. And that seems not to matter sometimes. And yet we had leaders here saying, look, hit the brakes.
Yeah, give us
not
time
every
for
one
full
of these things is a thing.
Yes, absolutely. And it's easy to jump on that bandwagon of, you know, this is injustice. This is, you know, something else. Unfortunately, the person involved did not die.
Yeah.
You know, so all in all, it was okay.
Well, it was an amazing Tuesday, and congratulations to Kevin and Dr. Norman. I got to sit next to Dr. Norman up on the dais at Thanksgiving. Had a really interesting conversation with her, you know, throughout the luncheon. I know right now you're here, you get your St. Mary's stuff on and DMH and Crossing. And Wednesday was the last numbers we had. We'll see, you know, what happens here on Monday. Probably too soon to see what Thanksgiving did to all of this. But hospitalizations are way up. We got this new variant that hit out of nowhere. I mean, literally, you go to bed Thanksgiving night, you get up Friday morning, and you find out, oh, my goodness.
It was like a punch in the stomach.
Yeah. Numbers are going up. Hospitalizations went from like 5 to 27 and
seemingly. Well, they've been steadily increasing,
yeah.
You know, at both hospitals, and which is not what you want to see. And we've seen, you know, positivity go up. And, you know, and I had someone over the weekend say, well, that's because you're testing more people because people have to be tested to go to work. Well, no, our cases are going up because we're inside.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are positives out there, you want to, you know, quarantine them as quickly as possible. So
what do we, you know, I feel like there's the science, there's the politics, There's the people, half of the people who have done their part, meaning they're doing all they can through vaccinations and boosters. And then you got the other half just saying, we've been done with this for a year. Where do we go from here as a community?
Brian, I really think we've hit an impasse. And, you know, there are organizations that are going to be required to require their employees to get vaccinated. And, you know, there are religious exemptions, there are medical exemptions, but it's not going to be something as easy as people just saying, okay, yeah, you don't have to worry about it. And so there will be people that will feel compelled for their job to get vaccinated that really don't want to be vaccinated and aren't comfortable with it. And then there are going to be people who quit their jobs and walk away and find something else.
Those numbers are relatively small. They make headlines, but if you look at the percentage of, you know, health systems or airlines or whatever it might be, when you look at the number of employees they have versus the number of people who are saying, I'm going to quit my job, they're not even comparable.
Well, that's true. But it's just all in all very unfortunate. I think you will continue to see entities such as whether it's a major league or a national sporting event or, you know, I told you I went to the Blackhawks Blues game and you had to provide proof of vaccination or proof of a negative test to get in.
Right.
I think we're going to see more and more of that in these because people don't they don't want to be shut down. And you look at your leisure industries, you know, anything like this is going to start, you know, this new variant is a problem. And as long as we continue to have so few people vaccinated, we are going to continue to have variants.
There's a couple of problems in that regard. One is the inequity of vaccinations available throughout the world,
you know,
where we have more vaccines than we have people lined up to take the vaccines. You go to someplace like Africa, and there's not enough vaccines to go around. And so as long as you have that and the people who are hesitant about taking it, we're just going to keep developing variant after variant after variant.
And some of these countries are just shutting down, and they're not letting anybody in. And, you know, I don't see the United States going to that extreme. But it's just really unfortunate that this has become so polarizing that getting people to really look at facts, you know, and the people who say, well, I'm going to do my own research. Really? Are you going to do clinical trials? You know, do you have the science? Do you have the background to understand what you're looking at? And I get it. This is not it's not a vaccine that's been around for decades, but, you know, we are it's a different world. We have technology we didn't have in the 60s, and this was based off of the SARS virus.
Give me every day a vaccine developed in 2020, 2021 versus something that was developed in 1957. I mean, you know, based on just what we know today versus what we know then. Kevin, you grew up getting vaccinated, right? I mean,
I didn't know what I was getting vaccinated for.
People our age still have a mark.
Let's put out your arm.
Yeah.
Right? And you just did it. You know, we talked about Dr. Janelle Norman earlier. She wrote a great...
I was just going to bring that up.
Yeah. Talk about that. I thought that I texted her as soon as I read that. What a wonderful thing. She addressed, what was it, Tuskegee brainwashing
experiment
thing.
Yeah.
But she talked about two people that she knew, three people that she knew, that went through COVID. And she's encouraging the African-American community, please, please get your vaccine. Talk to your doctor. Get persuaded to do it. It's the right thing to do.
Absolutely. And that's not the only pocket of people not being vaccinated. You got a lot of people. I mean, you know, African-Americans make up what percentage of the population here in Macon County?
Around 20%.
Okay. So if 50% of people are not vaccinated, that leaves a whole other gigantic segment of people that are out there for whatever reason that are choosing not to be.
Well, and a lot of those people, Brian, are young, healthy, you know, middle class workers, and they feel like they are not necessarily immune, but that if they get sick, they won't get that sick. Well, you know, we've seen those people in the hospital and they are very sick. We have seen those people in the hospital and they've died, and it's too late to understand who's going to get hit how hard. You don't really know because none of the people who come in with COVID that have to be hospitalized expected to be that sick. None of them.
You know, I talked to a young person about that and she said, well, I'm young and I can withstand it. Plus I believe God will protect me. And I go, do you ever think God may have sent you a vaccine?
Well, and Sister Rita Mary did a video that was, it was basically a Facebook video pleading with people to get vaccinated. And she said pretty much the same thing. You know, God sent you this vaccine. Take it.
Yeah, I mean.
Prayers are not enough to ward off this virus.
We used to charge people, literally criminally, for having those religious beliefs about their kids. You know, if your kid breaks his arm and you think Jesus is going to heal it and you don't take him to the hospital, it was child abuse.
Well, wasn't that long ago, people didn't get their kids vaccinated and we thought they were nuts.
Yeah. I mean, it really, and that's why I don't understand the politics of this or why it became a political thing. Because you're right. Over the 25 years of doing this, you know, I can count on one hand the number of people about anti-vaccinations that I've heard from. I mean, literally, I mean, a handful of people over 25 years of doing this. And now all of a sudden it's 50% of our county.
Which, again, I don't know how we get past this void. How do we do this? It's, you cannot push people into doing this until it starts to really impact them, whether it's
someone who gets very sick or dies. But it's such a selfish argument. I mean, the young, I don't know who it was you were talking to, but that young woman can then, you know, kill somebody else's grandma. I mean, because of their selfishness about, well, I'll be fine. Well, probably odds are you will be. But what does that mean for everybody else in your life?
I agree. I mean, people work. You go into the workplace unvaccinated, you're going to spread it to your workers.
You go to the store.
You go to the nursing home. We've talked about this. I've talked about this with you. I've talked about this with Tanya many, many times. You know, I haven't had in my life a ton of experience with nursing homes, but this past year I've had a lot. And, you know, the idea that you know, my dad, who passed away October 3rd, if he went to his doctor, meaning he had to leave the nursing home and go to a doctor, he had to be quarantined for 2 weeks. The people coming in and out of his room taking care of him don't have to be vaccinated.
And we isolated our own population. Now,
think about that.
Yeah.
He had to be isolated for 2 weeks from his family, when 2 weeks could have been the end of his life or the 2 weeks you got to spend with him towards the end of his life. But the people coming in and out of his room, no regulations at all.
Yeah, that's the other, the residual effects of this pandemic on people. That is the worst, when you can't be with your family member in the last month of their life. But even with little kids and the way they're being socially distanced from their friends, it's having residual negative effects that I don't think we can calculate.
Well, the mental health of this population, of this country, you know, is... You know, so many more people are depressed and having mental health issues that never had them before or were able to overcome them much easier. I mean, there are so many, the impact of COVID is just immeasurable at this point.
So we move forward. It's getting, you know, we've had pretty decent weather for November. I'm not complaining at all. But it's not going to get better before it gets worse, right? I mean, as we get indoors, Thanksgiving this weekend, Christmas, the holidays.
The full expectation is we're going to see a surge in December and January and February. I mean, that's just probably the reality. You've got people who traveled like nobody's traveled over Thanksgiving. You know, it was like record numbers because everybody didn't get to do it last year. And so now we're gonna celebrate in a big way. And you've got people who came from different cities, different states, different places, and now they've been together and now they're going out. And so if someone in any of those gatherings, which it's a pretty good chance somebody had COVID, whether they had symptoms or not, you know, the chances of this spreading and exploding are pretty good.
All right. Saturday morning, I was invited to come down and see the inside of the transfer house, which is just fantastic. The plumbers and steam fitters, Local 137, the IBEW, Local 146, the painters, Local 288, carpenters, Local 270, OPCM, Local 18, Jones and Sullivan, Top Quality Roofing, King Lar Smart, Connor Company, Burdick Plumbing and Heating, Carpet Weavers, E.L. Pruitt, Shaney Goss, W. Dan Hardy, Decatur Building and Trades Construction, Trades Council, Community Foundation, and Decatur Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. That's a mouthful, but they all need to be really thanked. And it is fantastic.
It really is. And the transfer house, Terry Hamill managed to transform it last year so that Santa could see the kids, because the little Santa house we've always had isn't nearly big enough for kids to see Santa safely. And so she transformed it and made it all pretty last year. This year it is a real thing, and the transfer house will be usable for events, for headquartering. If you're having something in Central Park, it'll be...
They put a restroom in.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
So, I mean, it is really nice. But
this was a community effort of small businesses and labor working with the Community Foundation and the Convention Bureau to make this a reality. And I'm so excited about it. And Shani Goss, you didn't mention Shani's mural.
I did. I say Shani, but the mural is really impressive, and it has all of these great things that are very centric to Decatur that you can kind of figure out on your own. But it opened, I think, to the public at 11 on Saturday. But we just encourage everybody, get your kiddos down there to see
Santa. And Santa's there.
Yeah, Santa's like a great Santa, too, by the way.
It's the real one.
Yeah, I believe that.
I've got to get a hold of Santa. We're going to do our show with Santa. I don't have Santa yet.
All right. Well,
I haven't got him.
The real one's in Central Park. You can call Terry Hamill. Okay. She can hook you up.
I'm going to give you guys the definition of what this means. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Fall has been warmer than normal in Illinois this year. Climatological fall is wrapping up this month with some temperatures for the record books, says state climatologist Trent Ford. Ford says fall precipitation has been all over the place, with just under 7 inches since September in northwestern Illinois and over 12 inches in east central Illinois. The early December outlook calls for average temperatures and precipitation, but Ford says forecast models are leaning heavily on the La Nina effect to increase odds for warmer and wetter weather through February. If your family is headed out this week to pick out a Christmas tree, you might want to consider a few of these tips. One thing people often forget to do is measure the space where they want to put the tree, and it ends up being too big. Bringing a tape measure when you head out to the tree lot or farm to make sure it will fit is recommended. As far as the type of tree, well, that's a personal choice. You need to keep that water filled at all times. No special additives like sugar or aspirin are needed. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to NowDecatur.com.
News. I'm Chris Foster. Chief White House Medical Advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci says it'll take about 2 weeks to tell if a new coronavirus variant named Omicron is more dangerous or resistant to vaccines.
It's really too early to say. We just really need to, as I've said so often, prepare for the worst.
Dr. Fauci on ABC's This Week. A U.S. travel ban on 8 African countries is in effect. The variant's popping up in other countries, though, as well. There are no confirmed cases yet here. Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's former girlfriend, goes on trial for sex trafficking today in New York.
Maxwell is accused of being Epstein's madam, recruiting and grooming minors as young as 14 years old for Epstein to abuse. Prosecutors say Maxwell would befriend these girls before handing them over for Epstein to abuse in any one of his mansions. In some cases, Maxwell allegedly took part in that abuse herself.
Fox's Brian Yenis. America's listening to Fox News.
What is health? It's living your best life every single day. And Memorial is here to help you on your health journey. Whether it's prevention, rehabilitation, or anything in between, Memorial connects you to the region's best care. And now, our name will reflect that. Introducing Memorial Health, the new name for all the places where you receive our care. From our 5 community hospitals to our dozens of care facilities, they're all united under one name and a new symbol. But Memorial Health is more than just a name change. We have also simplified the way you access our care, including a streamlined website, a straightforward approach to primary and urgent care, as well as a growing network of expertise and technology. Now, wherever you are, Memorial Health makes living your best life easier than ever. Welcome to the new symbol of health. See all the changes online at memorial.health.
Attention Class A CDL drivers. We're hiring for dedicated home office positions with a $7,500 sign-on bonus. Join Oakley Transport at our hiring event Tuesday, November 30th through Thursday, December 2nd at the Homewood Suites located at 333 West Marion Avenue in Forsyth, Illinois. We'll be there from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. each day. For more info, call 877-950-4333. That's 877-950-4333.
Here's a look at your WSOY 3-day weather forecast. Today is going to be partly sunny with a high near 46, and tonight mostly clear with a low around 33. For Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high of 48, and Wednesday mostly sunny with a high near 56. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is 30 degrees, and your WSOY time is 7:33.
Tupper on Sports on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
We will be back with the mayor and Kevin in just a couple of minutes. Right now it's time to check in with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, let's start with the Illini and Big Ten football.
It was a chaotic weekend in Big Ten football. You would expect that, the final regular season game. Of course, Michigan-Ohio State, the centerpiece game in the conference and really in the country. Both one-loss teams coming in. Ohio State has been so impressive and so dominant in this series. But the atmosphere at Michigan Stadium was crazy, 107,000 people. It was snowing. It was cool. I mean, people were going bonkers there. And I think the expectation was that Ohio State would figure out a way to win because that's what they've done against Michigan. I think it was 15 of the last 16 meetings. But Michigan won the game 42-27, just physically manhandled Ohio State. We're not used to seeing that. Michigan was so impressive. And as a result, Michigan wins the Big Ten East. Michigan will play for the Big Ten championship for the first time ever. And maybe more importantly, they're winning a seat or trying to win a seat at the table for the national championship. And so that was a terrific game. And then Illinois played Northwestern, and Northwestern's dominated Illinois in this final in-state rivalry game. But over at Hill Stadium, Illinois just beat Northwestern practically senseless, 47-14. Tremendous start to the game for Illinois. They were up 28-0 early. Brandon Peters really throwing the ball well. Isaiah Williams just blossoming into his role as a wide receiver. Of course, he converted to that position from quarterback. He was sensational. The improving Illinois defense, again, looking strong. Chase Brown running the ball. I mean, they just did a lot of good stuff. And so Illinois finishes 5-7, 4-5 in the Big Ten, and 4-5 in their last seven Big Ten games. Do they have a chance at a bowl game at 5-7? You know, we think of 6-6 as the cutoff, but if there are not enough 6-6 teams to fill all the slots, 5-7 can get you in. I have generally felt pretty cool toward a 5-7 team accepting a bid. I feel a little different about this team because this team has improved so much late in the season. They're now fun to watch. They're exciting to watch. They're really competitive. And they have said they would accept if a bid came their direction. I think it's a long shot. But nevertheless, they finished strong. I think Brett Bielema should feel good about the way his team continued to get better as the season moved along and capping it off with that 33-point win over Northwestern.
All right. On the other side of the break, we'll do a little Illini basketball with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. It's brought to you by First National Bank, the quality bank, now open in downtown Decatur.
First National Bank is now open in downtown Decatur. The Quality Bank has added a second Decatur branch at 100 South Water Street in the Milliken Building. You'll be able to get the same competitive home and auto rates, personal and business services, and personal touch the Quality Bank has been known for in Central Illinois for over 90 years. For more information, visit fnbpena.com or stop by any of our locations in Pena, Assumption, Taylorville, Blue Mound, and on Baltimore and Decatur. FNB is now open in downtown Decatur.
We're back here with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, Illini basketball.
Well, this has been an unbelievable start for Illini basketball. A lot of unpredictable things going on. We had the Kofi Coburn three-game suspension, but we've had all kinds of injuries, and now the flu bug running through the team right now. They played the other night against Texas Rio Grande Valley, which turns out to be a pretty decent team. But Illinois without three starters the other night, without Jacob Grandison, who had the flu, without Trent Frazier out with a knee injury, without Andre Curbelo out with a neck-slash-concussion symptoms injury. So you're without your point guard, you're without your backup point guard, you're without your starting wing. They did win the game, 94-85, but they needed some monster performances, 38 points from Kofi Coburn, 30 points from Alfonso Plummer, the Utah transfer. And now they turn around tonight at 8 o'clock and play Notre Dame over at the State Farm Center as part of the Big Ten ACC Challenge. And Brad Underwood is unable to answer the question, who is healthy enough to play tonight? He has no idea because he had to cancel practice, too many people out with the flu. And with these injuries, I would guess Trent Frazier will not play tonight. He was on crutches until the game the other night, and he was in street clothes, and but had abandoned the crutches. Andre Curbelo, I don't know if he's going to play. Jacob Granderson, don't know if he's going to play. Don't know if more people have come down with the flu. Brad's comment yesterday was, well, if we've got six healthy, we'll play with six. And that's tough against a Notre Dame team that is obviously a step up from Texas Rio Grande Valley. They are 3-2. This has happened at other schools and in other sports. Michigan State football over the weekend had 20 to 23 players out with the flu, non-COVID flu, and they still managed to beat Penn State 30-27. So, you know, you're in a tough stretch here because coming very quickly are two Big Ten games. They play Rutgers on Friday, and a week from tonight they're at Iowa. So they've yet to play a game with a full team. They can't practice, and that's hard. So we'll see what they can do tonight. Maybe more people will be healthy than we might imagine, and they can give Notre Dame a real good run on their home floor. 8 o'clock tonight, ESPN2. You can listen to it on WSOY.
All right, Mark, have a great day. We'll check in with you first thing tomorrow morning. Back with the mayor of Decatur, Julie Moore Wolf, and Kevin Brahaney in the studios right after this.
Are you as angry as I am about how politicians are ruining our great state of Illinois? Sky-high taxes, endless corruption, unrelenting crime. My name is Jesse Sullivan, and I'm running to be a different kind of governor, an Abraham Lincoln Republican, to restore moral leadership to our state. Growing up in central Illinois, my parents taught me the core values of faith, family, and service. Faith has led me to serve from Haiti to Afghanistan. I know the best way to lift people up isn't with handouts, but with jobs and economic growth. But here in Illinois, we have J.B. Pritzker, who thinks higher taxes and more mandates are the way out of this mess. Just like the liberals in Washington. Enough. I'm Jesse Sullivan, and I'm a conservative fighter you can trust to lower your taxes and end government overreach. Together, let's fight to make Illinois strong. Text Sully to 41612. That's Sully to 41612. Or visit jessesullivan.com. Paid for by Sullivan for Illinois.
It's Christmas time. This past year, as we all know, has been rough. So take this holiday and give that special person something not only do they deserve, but may need. Give the gift of self-care. Gifting a massage, hair, or skincare visit may be the best gift received. Backed by popular demand, our number one spa package, Fassage. Enjoy a full body massage with a ProSkin 60 facial. Fassage is our biggest selling and most relaxing spa package yet. E-gift cards available at your convenience and schedule them to send today or at a later date. Or stop in and pick up your gift card and holiday hair or skin gift set, all at 20% off. For every purchase, enter a chance to win our holiday basket valued at over $200. Support local and shop small. Capelli's strives to offer the best prices on all of our hair and skin products. Capelli's offers a full online boutique, lifestyle, and accessory items at capellistudio.com. This year, it's about self-care. Give them the gift that says it all, a spa gift card at Capelli's.
When you talk tires, you need to talk about who you can trust. Palmer Tire is now offering Michelin and Goodyear tires. Palmer Tire is the area's only Michelin and Alliance certified tire professionals. Just tell them which kind of car you drive and they'll go over all the numbers with you. The number you really need to remember, though, is 875-4266. They'll take the time to talk tire size, speed rating, load index, tire pressure, and, of course, price. Talk to someone you can trust. Palmer Tire, your Goodyear and Michelin tire dealer.
Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
We are back here on a Monday. Hope you're having a great start to your week as we literally will head into the month of December, as hard as that is to believe. What happened to this year?
I don't know. I'm still getting ready for Labor Day. So, you know, I'm way behind.
All right. We got the Christmas parade coming up.
Is that Saturday?
I believe it is.
Is it
this Saturday?
I think it's Saturday the 6th, maybe. Is that the right day?
I
don't want to forget, St. Mary's Starlighting will be aired on Decatur on Thursday.
Tell me about this.
Yes.
So Thursday, this Thursday?
This Thursday, which is December second, fourth?
The second.
Something.
Yes.
At 6:30. And it will be live streamed on Now Decatur, and it will also be on Cozy TV if you have.
I don't even know how to get there.
Well, if you have Comcast, it's one of those channels, like 907 or something.
One of those. Just start in the 900s.
Start in the or talk looking. Into your thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that remote thing where you can just say Hallmark Channel.
The voice remote, yes.
That's all we have is the Hallmark Channel because it's happy.
Is that what you spend a lot of time doing?
I do.
Just
all
in
the
denial?
Well,
just I'm the mayor. I'm sitting at home with a pint of ice cream and my voice remote going to the Hallmark Channel.
Well, you know, there's so much negativity. It's just, and you know, it's always going to be a happy ending.
Yeah, you always,
always.
Know,
I
you
love
know
it.
The ending
you
before...
can sleep through half of it and you didn't miss anything because it's happy.
I need
more happy. So happy parade, happy starlighting event. It'll be great.
Don't you think that we spend way too much time as human beings, as people, as whatever, on the people that are always unhappy with things?
Oh, we do, and we need to flip that, and let's go to just the people who are trying to make things better and more positive, and really remember the reason for the season, and you know, enjoy the moments you have.
Why do you suppose so many people just can't do that? I mean, we have a little game we play, meaning Lindsay and I do. Like when you put up a positive story, like I don't know, the photo gallery from the transfer house being remodeled, and there's a time that we guess about the first negative.
There could not have been negative
comment. Oh, of course there are. I mean, you can't. People can't help themselves. I mean, it is like a disease that we have as human beings that we just look for the negative in everything.
Which I don't understand.
I don't either.
You know?
And I don't ever want to get so cynical that I do understand it. I mean, I want to be like, what is wrong with you? Like, I saw the story about the woman breastfeeding a cat on a plane. And the only thing I could think of is if I actually was on that flight, I'd probably be sitting next to her. That's just the way life works.
That's a first. I've never heard that one before.
Yeah, one of those like bald cats, like wrapped up to look like a baby.
Is that illegal? I mean, there's something about that seems totally wrong.
There's a lot about that.
Animals had to stay in their containers.
Oh my goodness!
It all ends in tears. All I'm saying to you is, I'm quite certain if I were on that plane, my seat would have been, you know, by just necessity, right next to her. Right. Because that's the way life works.
I've had a flight next to a cat, a long flight from California back to Chicago, and it was not pleasant. And this woman kept sticking her hand in the crate going, "Do you smell anything?" And I'm thinking, I'm going to throw up.
Well, they handed out a nice little brochure, pamphlet, whatever, on Saturday, and it had some of the pictures of all the people doing the work. And you can see clearly, you know, the plaster. And you know, that structure is...
It is. WAND, they had a story on not just the...
Are you getting paid by the mention today?
Yes, I am.
Just
yes,
curious.
I am.
No,
but I was going to say the reporter did a really good job because she came up with video, film, from when the transfer house was in Lincoln Square with buses going around it and stopping, which I love that old film that you come up with. But it's, you know, it is truly a treasure. And Paul Osborne fought to make sure that, you know, it remains a treasure. And
yeah.
He really wanted it back in the middle of Lincoln Square, and the architect said that was not going to happen.
I think he still does, but it was cool. I saw those pictures. It looked really neat down there on Main and Main.
What is the idea that a community can't handle one roundabout? I mean, we went over to Carmel, Indiana, a couple of years ago to go to that Kroger dinner,
all over.
And there were like eight in a two-block stance. What, you say the engineers, there were some city council members that clearly, you know, rooted against that, and at the time it seemed more political to me than it did engineering-wise.
If you go back to before we got trucks out of downtown, which I never thought that would happen, I do remember talking with one of the engineers from IDOT who said, well, it's probably pretty dangerous if you put the transfer house back in the middle of Main and Main and trucks going around it, and it's a destination with no way to get there safely for pedestrians.
Trucks, yes.
Well, yeah, so, you know, but we don't have trucks anymore. But it's my understanding, and I don't think I was even on the council, or maybe I was, when we looked at it and had engineers say, mm-hmm. if you move it, it will collapse.
But that was before the – wasn't their complete restoration of the outside of the transfer house a number of years
Brian,
ago?
Brian, there was. There were a lot of roof issues that were addressed.
And that was all replaced?
Yes. Yeah. But I don't – my understanding, and I can't tell you what year or, you know.
No, it's probably not going to happen anyway. I if you're sitting up here, you can still see sort of a circular imprint. Of where it was for all those many years.
And I'm the first to tell you, I'm not good at roundabouts. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. And
really?
I'm terrible. I'm terrible
Stay
at them.
Stay away from Italy.
Well, yeah, you get used to them. When they're new, it's hard to figure out. But once you get used to them, you got to hand it to Paul. I mean, with that fountain and even with it there in Central Park, it really helps make downtown charming.
Oh, absolutely. And when the city redid the band shell and, you know, made it a newer stage,
well,
a nicer stage,
the
whole park. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful.
It really is. And if you look at it from overhead, one of our social media, I don't know, Facebook or something, we rotate those pictures in and out, but there's a drone shot of Central Park from way above, which just looks really cool.
Oh, I've got to look for that.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. Fountain was probably too big for the old park, but when they redid the new park, it was great. And I look at everything. I don't know why people, I get that in a world of COVID and people are, I get all that. But there's so many upsides to what's going on in this community. I don't know why people feel like they have to be professional haters.
If anything, we should all be more thankful because
grateful.
We've been through a really, really horrible time. I'm hoping that the worst is behind us. Hoping with every ounce of Kevin Brahaney glass, not half full, but fully full of positivity that, the worst is behind us. We've still got some challenges, but that we should be thankful for everything.
You know, what I've noticed, I've been here 43 years now, but when I came to town, this city of Decatur is embracing. They don't, it's not a bunch of cliques. It's a bunch of survivors. It's a bunch of people that know how to make things happen and get over hurdles. A lot of other cities are arrogant. The blue bloods, they're
if you're not
cliquish.
From there, you don't get
in. Yeah, you know, Springfield's known for it. And I will tell you, I've never been, if you want to get involved in this town, it embraces you. And then you can see a difference. You can literally see the difference your involvement makes. It's such a good city and full of interesting people. I just can't say enough about it.
All right, one last thing about the Beatles 8-hour documentary. I'm going to give this to Kevin as a parting gift.
Okay.
This is the crazy stuff we don't even think about today. They were in 1969 at the summit of their career, right? I mean, it was soon all to be over, and there how much was lost because they didn't have enough tape. There's a point where George Martin lectures them that this is $2 shillings a foot, talking about the tape to record what they were doing. And you think about that time and the technology and where we are today. Can you believe that was even an issue? Because they were arguing to keep certain takes of and different takes of different songs.
They wanted to erase it so they could redo it. Right. And they said, no, keep that. And we're running out of tape.
There was at one point when the BBC literally did that, you know, where they just taped over everything, all of their history, to save money on buying tape.
That sounds like a corporate decision.
Right?
Wow.
Well, and they were the Beatles. In 1967...
$2 shillings a foot.
69, they were the biggest, like you were saying, they're at the apex of their career. You would think they would have whatever they want.
Yes.
But they didn't. And they didn't seem that upset about it. They really didn't seem to have diva personalities. They seemed to be, I mean, they kidded about, hey, we're famous, we should get this. But that was always a joke.
I would argue that if you watch the 8 hours, they have a lot of people waiting on them hand and foot.
Well, giving them tea and coffee and toast.
And the guy standing on the rooftop with the lyrics because John Lennon doesn't remember them holding the clipboard.
Somebody had to do it.
Yeah.
His name was Kevin, by the way.
Yeah, the Ginger Ninja. Yes, exactly. All right. If I ask you for your earliest memories of Jacques Cousteau, what do you think? Because there is a new documentary on National Geographic, which is part of the Disney Plus app.
I think of whales.
Called Becoming Cousteau, which is fascinating.
Wasn't that like on Sunday nights?
You know, ABC had the programming, and it became the most watched. He did films, and then he moved to TV. His life story is absolutely fascinating. And his start of working for oil companies, the Calypso was the name of the ship, and the red beanies and all the things you can sort of think about. And the way he dressed was very elegant and French. But he started out working for oil companies. They had the Calypso out, and in 2 years they ran out of money, and then this oil company hired them to do the work. He discovered, Jacques Cousteau discovered the oil in Abu Dhabi.
Really?
No kidding.
Everything that has been built from that point forward, that was discovered in the ocean.
What did they hire him to do?
Research on oil and to work on the equipment.
That's fascinating.
And then he became a huge conservationist. Did a complete 180 on what he had started out doing to become.
Didn't he save the whales?
Well, there was a whole Save the Earth. Greenpeace, the whole nine yards. But he was an interesting cat.
Yeah, I don't think anything but positive things about Jacques Cousteau as I think about him.
You also don't really know much. It was just one of those things that was on TV,
and
right?
We didn't have a lot of choice. You know, in the 60s, there wasn't much on TV.
You know, he created the aqualung. Literally what we think of as scuba diving, was created by him. With the first person to do sort of the three tanks and the actual ability to go, free of anything else. They had the big suits and the stuff that was lined up to the boats. It's a great documentary.
I'd have to watch it.
Yeah, I'm a fan of his. I remember watching as a kid on probably Disney, he just was always doing something good to keep animals alive. In the ocean.
And bringing you the ocean. Right. In the 40s, they were down there with cameras, which is, I still think today we know more about space than we do, the bottom of our own oceans. I really do.
He was like the Marlon Perkins of the ocean. I'd never know anything about Africa if it wasn't for Marlon Perkins.
Well, you wouldn't know anything about Africa if it wasn't for Jim Fowler. Marlon Perkins didn't do squat except send Jim out to do all the work.
Marlon got all
as
the credit.
As my assistant Jim approaches the hyena. Yeah, that's how that worked.
It's bit by the snake. But wasn't he? He was the face of the ocean.
Yes, he really was. It's just a very interesting. It just premiered at a big film festival in September and just went live on the Disney Plus app. His wife, his kids. I forgot his son died in a plane crash. Philippe Cousteau, who was part of the whole team and how those kids grew up. I don't know that any of it was ideal, but it's really, really interesting.
I'm going to have to wait for my daughter to come back home so I can get on Disney Plus.
I don't understand what that means.
I don't know how to do it.
Do you think Steve Irwin followed in his footsteps, or was that just a shtick that he did?
Via land versus Australia?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, I don't know. When you think of these animal and nature ocean type, I think of Cousteau, I think of Steve Irwin, I think of Marlon Perkins.
And Jim.
Do you remember Jim Fowler's wife came to town for the Scoville Zoo? She was a painter. Do you remember she did the wildlife painting? Betsy, I think was her name.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Jim Fowler's wife from Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. You talk about ultimate branding, right? That still rolled off my tongue like it was yesterday.
Right. Mutual of Omaha.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And who was Jim Kimmett's friend from the Columbus Zoo, Jack
Hannah. Yeah.
He was here in town. He was on the radio with us.
Yeah, but Betsy, I think it was Betsy, if I remember. She did some prints for the foundation, for the Parks Foundation, for the Scoville Zoo many, many, probably 25, 30 years ago. But she was quite the acclaimed artist.
Well, Howard Buffett, he's quite the acclaimed photographer of animals.
Photography is amazing.
Yeah, boy, he's got a whole book of unbelievable photographs.
Books.
Cheetahs. These cheetahs. He had a picture of a cheetah running. I don't know how he ever took that. And
He about got attacked by a polar bear.
Yeah, that's a fun story as well. Guys, we're going to have to say goodbye. Keep up the great work.
Isn't there another hour or so left?
There is,
just hang
but
out.
Nick and I have business to take care of.
Okay.
And I'm Paul McCartney right now. Self-editing.
Like Paul McCartney. I don't know why you're
so
critical.
Paul McCartney.
I'm not critical.
You are a perfectionist just like him. And that's why everything goes so well.
Okay.
That's a compliment, by the way.
I appreciate it.
Because we're all positive.
Yes.
No negativity here.
You are the Art Paul McCartney of Decatur.
Doing it right now. We'll be back after the break. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere.
No matter where you are, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is Shiler with your stories now. The lines are now set for Illinois' congressional districts for the next 10 years. Governor J.B. Pritzker enacted the partisan-drawn maps that reduce Illinois' number of seats in the U.S. House from 18 to 17. The state lost a seat because of the state's continued population decline. Secretary of State Jesse White will have people out looking for shoppers illegally parked in spaces reserved for people with disabilities. Parkers misusing a placard face up to a $1,000 fine and a year suspended driver's license. Using a deceased person's placard or a counterfeit one could bring a $2,500 fine and a 12-month suspension. A reformulated vaccine against the Omicron coronavirus variant could become available early next year, said Moderna's chief medical officer. Currently, it is unclear if COVID vaccines can provide protection against this variant. The World Health Organization has classified Omicron as a variant.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.